Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name claim the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
I'll preach as a dying man, the dying men and women and youth. And I'll preach as though I will never preach again. And I will tell you things that you will misunderstand. And I will tell you things that make you so angry with me. And I'll tell you things that you will deny. Because if I correctly interpret this passage of Scripture that I'm going to give you, it is as though God were speaking through a man. And your problem will not be with me. It will be with God and His Word. So the only question that really has to be decided here this afternoon is this man before us a false prophet? Or is he telling us the truth? And if he is telling us the truth, then nothing else matter except conforming our lives to that truth. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" I stand here today. I'm not troubled in my heart about your self-esteem. I'm not troubled in my heart about whether or not you feel good about yourself, whether or not life is turning out like you want it to turn out, or whether or not your checkbook is balanced. There's only one thing that gave me a sleepless night. There's only one thing that troubled me all throughout the morning, and that is this. Within 100 years, the great majority of people in this building will possibly be in hell. And many who even profess Jesus Christ as Lord will spend an eternity in hell. What you need to know is that salvation is by faith, and faith alone in Jesus Christ. And faith alone in Jesus Christ is preceded and followed by repentance. A turning away from sin. A hatred for the things that God hates and a love for the things that God loves. A growing in holiness and a desire not to be like Britney Spears, not to be like the world, and not to be like the great majority of American Christians, but to be like Jesus Christ. I don't know why you're clapping. I'm talking about you. I didn't come here to get amens. I didn't come here to be applauded. I'm talking about you. You know what the Bible tells Christians to do? Examine yourself. Test yourself in light of Scripture to see if you are in the faith. The Bible says in the prophets that even our greatest works are like filthy rags before God. And because of that, you know what we deserve? The wrath of God. The holy hatred of God. You say, "Now wait a minute. God doesn't hate anybody. God is love." No, my friend. You need to understand something. Jesus Christ taught, the prophets taught, the apostles taught this, that apart from the grace of God revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord, the only thing left for you is the wrath, the fierce anger of God because of your rebellion and your sin. When I speak in universities, they're always quick to point out, no, God cannot hate because God is love. And I tell you, God must hate because God is love. You see, I love children, therefore I hate abortion. If I love that which is holy, I must hate that which is unholy. God is a holy God. That's something that the Americans have forgotten. Now listen to me. If you're saved here tonight, you're not saved because the Romans and Jews rejected Jesus. You're not saved because they put a crown of thorns on his head. You're not saved because they ran a spear through his side. And you're not saved even because they nailed him to a cross. Do you know why you're saved if you are saved? Because when Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, he bore your sin, the sin of God's people, and all the fierce wrath of God that should fall upon you fell upon his only begotten Son. People say the cross is a sign of how much man is worth. That's not true. The cross is a sign of how depraved we really are, that it took the death of God's own Son, the only thing that could save a people like us. Death of God's own Son under the wrath of his own Father paid the price, rising again from the dead, powerful to save. This is the gospel of Jesus. Conversion is not like a flu shot. Oh, I did that. I repented. I believe. The question is, my friend, are you continuing to repent of sin? Are you continuing to believe? Because he who began a good work in you will finish it. The Bible never teaches that a person can be a genuine Christian and live in continuous carnality and wickedness and sin all the days of their life. But the Bible teaches that the genuine Christian has been given a new nature. The genuine Christian has a Father who loves them and disciplines them and watches over them and cares for them. Jesus indicates that one of the principal signs of being a genuine Christian is that you walk in the narrow way. Now, am I saying that a Christian is without sin? No, because in 1 John we learn that Christians do sin, and if any man does not acknowledge his sin, he knows not God. He's not walking in the light. So what is the difference? What am I really getting at? What am I getting at is this. If you are genuinely a born-again Christian, a child of God, you will walk in the way of righteousness as a style of life. And if you step off that path of righteousness, the Father will come for you. He will discipline you. He will put you back on that path. But if you profess to have gone through the narrow gate and yet you live in the broad way, just like all the other people in your high school, just like all the other people who are carnal and wicked, the Bible wants you to know that you should be terribly, terribly afraid. What we have forgotten to believe is that salvation is a supernatural work of God. And those who have genuinely been converted, regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be a new creature. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. One of the greatest distinguishing marks of a false prophet is that he will always tell you what you want to hear. He will never rain on your parade. He will get you clapping. He will get you jumping. He will make you dizzy. He will keep you entertained. And he will present a Christianity to you that will make your church look like a Six Flags over Jesus. You will know them by their fruits. How do you know that you're saved? How do you truly know you are saved? Because someone told you? Because you prayed a prayer? Because you believe? So let me ask you a question. How do you know you believe? Because everybody says they believe. How do you know you're not like them? Do you know how the Bible teaches you that you know you are saved? You know you have been saved because your life is in a process of being changed, and your style of life is one of walking in the paths of God's truth. And when you step off those paths in disobedience, as we all do, God comes for you and puts you back on the path. And what is the fruit that you're bearing? Do you look like the world, act like the world? Do you have and experience the same joys that the world experiences? Can you love sin and relish it? Can you love rebellion and relish it? Then you know not God. Let me take it a little further. Let's imagine that I show up late and I run up here on the platform. And all the leaders are angry with me. They say, Brother Paul, don't you appreciate the fact you're giving the opportunity to speak here and you come late? And I say, Brother, you have to forgive me. Well, why? Well, I was out here on the highway and I was driving and I had a flat tire and I got out to change the tire. And when I was changing the tire, the lug nut fell off. And I wasn't paying attention that I was on the highway and I ran out. And I grabbed the lug nut, and as soon as I picked it up in the middle of the highway, I stood up, and there was a 30-ton logging truck going 120 miles an hour about 10 yards in front of me, and it ran me over, and that's why I'm late. You would say, Brother Paul, it's absolutely absurd. It is impossible, Brother Paul, to have an encounter with something as large as a logging truck and not be changed. And then my question would be to you, what is larger, a logging truck or God? How is it that so many people today profess to have had an encounter with Jesus Christ and yet they are not permanently changed? You will know them by their fruit. And he says, anyone who does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. What is he talking about? My dear friend, he is talking about the judgment of Almighty God that will one day fall upon the world, that will one day fall possibly upon you. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. This fellow who is making this profession, he is not someone who just all of a sudden decided it's judgment and I better profess him to be Lord. This is a person who emphatically declares to other people that Jesus Christ is Lord. He walks around saying Lord. He dances up in front while the musicians are playing saying Lord. He sings the songs Lord. But Jesus said to him, depart from me, I never knew you. There are many people who are going to profess Lord, Lord, but they are not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. My dear, precious child, are you one of them? Look what it says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What is the sign that someone has become a genuine Christian? I wish that we would start teaching this again. What happened to our theology? What happened to our doctrine? What happened to our teaching? It went right out the window. No one wants to study doctrine anymore. They just want to listen to songs and read the back of Christian t-shirts. What happened to truth? Truth tells you this. The evidence, the way that you can have assurance that you are genuinely a born-again Christian is that you do, as a style of life, the will of the Father. You say, oh, you're talking about works. No, I'm not. I'm talking about evidence of faith. How do you know that that faith you have is not false? A style of life that is concerned about doing the will of the Father, that practices the will of the Father, and when you disobey the will of the Father, the Holy Spirit comes and reprimands you, either personally, through the written word of God, through a brother or sister in Christ, and God puts you back on the path again. If you can play around in sin, if you can love the world and love the things of the world, if you can always be involved in the world and doing things of the world, if your heroes are worldly people, if you want to look like them and act like them, if you practice the same things they practice, oh, my dear friend, listen to my voice. There's a good chance you know not God and you do not belong to Him. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. You say the most important thing on the face of the earth is to know Jesus Christ. That is not true. The most important thing on the face of the earth is that Jesus Christ knows you. If I'm not going to get into the White House tomorrow because I walk up to the gate and tell everybody I know George Bush. But they will let me in if George Bush comes out and says, I know Paul Washer. You can profess to know Jesus, but my question for you, does Jesus know you? There are two ways. There's a narrow way and a broad way. Which one are you on? There are two types of trees. There is a good tree that bears good fruit going to heaven. There's a bad tree, and you know it's bad because it bears bad fruit, it's going to hell. It's going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. There are those who profess Jesus as Lord, and they do the will of the Father who is in heaven. And there are those who profess Jesus Christ as Lord, and they do not do the will of the Father who is in heaven, and they go to hell. Not because of a lack of works, but because of a lack of faith demonstrated by the fact that they have no hearts. Let's get down. What does the Word of God say? How does your life stand in front of that blazing fire, which is the holiness of God, on that final day? Beloved, precious little girl, beloved, precious young man, on that final day, will your confession hold true? You need to know. You need to say, okay, how am I supposed to live before my parents? Go into the Word, find out, obey it. How am I supposed to dress? Go into the Word, find out, and obey it. How am I supposed to talk? What am I supposed to listen to? Bring every thought, word, and deed into subjection to Jesus Christ. I don't wish the same things your parents want for you. They want for you security and insurance and nice homes. They want for you cars and respect. I want for you the same thing I want for my son, that one day he takes a banner, the banner of Jesus Christ, and he places it on a hill where no one has ever placed the banner before, and he cries out, Jesus Christ is Lord, even if it costs my son his life. Oh, when he's 18 years old, if he says to me the same thing I said when I was a young man, I'm going into the mountains. I'm going into the jungle. And they say, you can't go there. You're insane. It's a war. You're going to die. I'm going. When that little boy puts on that backpack, I'm going to pray over him and say, go. Go. God be with you. And if you die, my son, I'll see you over there and I'll honor your death. Your life honor Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. This morning that was Paul Washer. And that was a 17-minute and 20-second sermon calling it. And he's speaking the truth here because many, you know, think they're on their way simply because they simply believe. And they leave it right there. You know, I believe and I go on and I'm still going to do what the world does. I believe like the world believe. I'm going to do the things that the world are doing, and I believe in Jesus. To be honest, it takes much more than believing. If I tell the truth, it takes much more, because there are things in His Word that after you believe, you need to know. It's His Word. It's what He inspired man to leave as a roadmap for us, as a way for us to live a daily life of pleasing, of things He can accept unto Him, not unto us. So what we need to do is get in His Word to know about all of this and not just believe and walk away. There's a Bible study life after you believe. There's a prayer life that you need to have after you believe. There are things to do, giving and sharing and witnessing to others after you believe. You don't believe at the altar and go back to your job, your office job, and be quiet. And when they pass around something about, no, not in here. It's at work. People looking. Because once you get a personal Bible study life, you're going to get to see that Apostle Paul said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said it had the power to save. I knew he wasn't lying because that's what saved me. All the times I went to church from childhood to adulthood, even while I had the form of godliness, I believed the word of God was the truth. So on the day at the window when I went to him afterward, after I went to him at the window and he come to show me he was real, he sent me not to work. He sent me to his word. I began to read and study his word. And while doing this, I began to learn of things I never knew about him or his word. Yeah. So bear with me 1 second here. I've got to go to a song of the morning, and I'll be right back and we'll finish talking about this. Got to quit.
It was meant to kill me, sent to destroy me, and I thought that it would, and I thought that it should, cause I messed up so many times, I went left when you said right, I'll understand if you wanna let me go, let me go, let me go, but you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go, and you wouldn't let me go, go. And what the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good.
Just worked it out for my good.
God has turned it around for my good. Oh, what was meant to kill me, it only made me better.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What the enemy meant to evil, God turned it around for our good. And we got to believe that today and hold on to it and know that all things must work for our good. If we believe. Yeah. So I was sharing that many people feel that if they believe, that's all it takes, and, you know, they're done. They still can go back to clubbing, partying, cussing, drinking, whatever you want to do, committing adultery, fornication, lying, cheating, stealing, evil, whatever they want to do. They feel they believe in Jesus, and that's good enough. But it takes much more, I promise you. You must build a relationship with him. Again, have that prayer life, personal prayer life, a personal Bible study life. Because without these two things, you won't stay with him. So today our topic is, let us talk about the Bible. Let's take a look. Let's talk about the Word of God. It's a lot of stuff out here and a lot of things that people are saying. And bring the beauty and truth of the Bible into everyday life is what the believer got to do. With the Bible, you know, you got to read it. You got to watch it. You even got to listen to it. Yeah, you got to do these things because this will help you. This will help you to build a relationship with him like you have with no one else. Yeah. You will have a relationship with no one but him. When we look at the Bible, many read different versions, King James, the NIV, the new this, the new that. I stick with the King James Bible because I know that's what works. What's in there is real. Because what's in there, I've seen it come past many days in my very own life. And you know, people ask, what is the Bible? What is the Bible? Now, according to the Bible, they're telling me that the Bible is the Holy Scripture of the Christian religion, purporting the history of the earth from its earliest creation to the spread of Christianity in the first century A.D. after the death of Christ. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament have undergone changes over the centuries, including the publication of the King James Version of the Bible. It's called the Holy Book. They said that even in medieval times, there was a Latin Bible, and they called it a Biblia, a short word for Biblia Sacra, Holy Book. While Biblia in Greek and Latin is neutra pura, you know, it's many different ways that people see the Bible. They even see it different from the beginning. This is why we got to have more than believe in God. More than believe in Jesus. We must have much more than that. Because he's going to take us to a place of understanding. He's going to put us in a place where we're walking with him daily in the spirit. And he is a spirit, and it's not going to be according to many days what man interpretation is or what man think, because they believed and that was it. They went to somewhere else. They went to school or they went to somewhere else. It's not according to experience. See, our stuff, well, I won't call it stuff. Our walk with him is based on our experience with him. He deals with the heart, and if we've given him our heart, which already knows the very intent of, he already knows what's in there. And we let him into our heart. We ask him to come into our heart to live forever. Well, he come in into your heart to live forever. But we got to do much more than believe. We got to do much more than have history. Because some history was written for our learning. It wasn't what we're doing today. Because we can't, because the times have changed. But he come right back in the New Testament and put things in place that we could live according to what he inspired man to write. So even in the Old Testament, what was written for our learning, it yet can be done through the New Testament. He made it easier. He made it easier for us to live. I found this, and it says, scholars now believe that the stories that would become the Bible were disseminated by word of mouth across the centuries in the form of oral tales and poetry, perhaps as a means of forging a collective identity among tribes. Eventually, these stories were collated and written down. Now, to me, I don't care if they say the oral poetry and perhaps means of forging a collective identity among Israel, but they still have to say this. Look, eventually these stories were collated and written down. God inspired man to write his word, because not everybody understand the truth. Not everybody likes the truth, loves the truth, wants to. The biggest way to start a fight or to get rid of someone, tell the truth. Many don't like it. Many won't come here. The truth. They don't want to hear that after believing, you got to have a prayer life and a Bible study life. They don't want to believe we have to live the word of God daily. What they believe is, I believe. Some never went to the altar and repented. Some never went to the altar and said, I do come into my heart and live ever. And get up and pray with a person of prayer life and a person of study the Bible with a person of Bible study life. Okay, we've established that. Yeah, that you got to have a prayer life and a Bible study life. Now we got to look at, it's used by Christians to give them guidance about how they can live their lives in the way God would want them to. That's what the Bible was created for. So that the believer, so that those that come to him would have guidance daily how to live. This is what the Bible was written for. Some Christians may use a lectory. This is a section of different Bible passages that can be read over time and can often offer advice on different areas of life. And many times this is what we do. Some have read the entire Bible. Some go back and select different scriptures according to what they're going through, according to things in their lives, according to how I'm feeling. Let me see if I can find this in the scriptures. Yeah. So the Bible itself is a guide. It's a daily guide for the Christians. It's a daily guide for the believers, the saints of God, the people of God. You know, that many people call themselves different things today. The Catholic Church holds the Bible as inspired by God, but that it does not view God as the direct author of the Bible, in the sense that he does not put a ready-made book in the mind of the inspired person. But not only the Catholic Church believe that, we as Christians, believers, saints, people of God, we believe that God inspired man to write the Bible. So if we believe that it's the inspired word of God, because God inspired man to write it, and man wrote it according to what he saw, as God led him, as God was his guide. When we look at the four Gospels, it tells us each one of those writers, that's the way they saw it. But when it comes to John, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When it comes to John, John went much further. To me, he had more inspiration, I might want to say. Because to me, John wrote more. And all of this, from Genesis to Revelation, was compiled and put into a book that would help the next believer to understand the Bible. And the next believer to understand the Bible. There would be groups of people meeting by a preacher that God has sent to teach them the Bible. So for me, the Bible today is still the written, inspired word of God, inspired by God. That's the Bible. And many of us, we believe this. We believe that it's the inspired word of God, that God inspired man to write. The Bible is a guide for us. It leads us into how to live daily, the Bible. The question have been asked, well, does God lie? I read that in order that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, Hebrews 6 and 18, beyond the fact that our God cannot lie, it is in fact impossible for him to lie. The Lord God will never lie to us or mislead us. He will always tell us the truth and fill us with truth from his holy word, the Bible. We're going to the scripture. We're going to Hebrews 6 and 18. And let's see what it says. This is the NASB that wrote these words. But we're going over and we're going to take a look at King James and see what the King had, what King James had to say about it. If we believe his word, and we believe that we should live by his word, what has happened? What happened to man living the word of God? What happened? Many started to have their own thoughts and their own. Some saw it in a whole nother way. Even God so loved the world that he sent the begotten Son, which was still the Word, because in the beginning he was the Word, and God made the Word flesh, and flesh dwelt among men. But looking at Hebrews 6 and 18, it says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. 19 says, which hope we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. 20 says, the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We believe that this word is infallible. We believe that this word is the truth. And many know that it is. I'm the one that know that the word of God is truth. And the reason I know, because I've experienced what is written in the King James Version. I've experienced that. I've experienced that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I've experienced that. I was an old person. I was a person who lived according to my own way. I lived according to the ways of the world, not the word, not the inspired word of God, the Bible. I wasn't living that way. Once I come to Jesus, once I found him, I didn't know where he was, but he knew where I was. And once I found him, and I began to pray, and I began to study the Bible personally, not in church, not in Bible study on Wednesday night, but at my house, I began to understand what he said. Old things began to pass away from me, because I no longer desired to do the old evil that I was doing, the things that was against God, the things that his word said not to do, the Bible. So as I continued on, when I first saw that prayer to him worked, when I saw not only did he hear the prayer, but he answered. Because what I asked for, it began to happen in me. I believed and it began to happen in me. I asked him to let me die so he could live. And what that means is to let my flesh die. The thoughts of Barbara, the ways of Barbara, the evil doings of Barbara, let that part die. And he had come into my heart to live. So anything evil in me, I wanted it out of me so he could take place in me. He could take residence in me and live forever. I found this out through the Bible, the inspired word that God inspired man to write. And so I learned that God does not lie. He's not a liar. There's some other scriptures we're going to go over. Whatever he set out for his word to do, that's another one. That's what it's going to do. Yeah. So the believer, the Christian, the people of God, we know that his word does not lie, and neither does he. The Bible is not God, and those who believe in it infallible do not worship the Bible. But the Bible is God's most objective and detailed way of communicating with us. We don't worship the Bible, we worship God. Because we found out it's the most objective and detailed way of communication with us from him, his word. If I'm out of town and I don't make a phone call, but I decide to write a letter, I'm going to write Louis in a way where he understands. Now, in the event that he does not understand, then what Louis do is, what he does, I'm sorry, he'll pick the phone up and call me. Because now he have the objective and now he have the details of that letter, the way of communicating with him. You understand exactly what I'm saying now. God's people, we understand this is why we stay in the Word. This is why we keep a proud life and we stay in the Word, because the Bible is the truth. It's the roadmap to God. I'm going to say back to Him, because He made us and we left Him. But He being Almighty God with all power, after man separated himself and following up what the serpent said, He come back with a way to redeem us back to Him. Its infallibility means we can trust the Bible to truly communicate to us what God wants us to believe and how God wants us to live. That's what infallible is. We can trust the Bible. We can trust His Word. We can trust that He inspired man to write it for us. Yeah. And as we follow it, we'll draw closer to our God, Jehovah. Yeah. The true and living God that have all power. There's no higher power. The Father of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. So we trust His Word. We trust the Bible. And I hope I've explained the Bible to you today. I hope I'm explaining it. It's the written word, the inspired written word of God that God inspired man to write as a guide for us. A guide that will lead us back to Him, lead us for His pleasure. But in the garden, we got separated because we disobeyed God. Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden. And God had to put them out of there. He had to separate from them. They were no longer innocent. But they knew the difference now between right and wrong and evil and good. So He put them out of there. But He loved man so. He loved man so. He did not stop. He needed a pure blood. He needed a pure sacrifice that hadn't been ever tainted. Evil had never touched it. So God Himself chose His only begotten Son and used Him as a sacrifice to redeem man back to Him. Yeah. If we study the Bible, we will find this out. That book that God inspired to write for us as a guide. Jesus Christ said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. That's a wonderful promise that can be taken seriously, especially when you feel the need for some sort of healing. Whether the difficulty is injury, illness, financial hardship, a troubled relationship, or anything else, we can rely on the Bible. We can find healing in the Bible. We can find injury. We can find illness. We can find financial hardship, a troubled relationship, or anything else we need is in the inspired written word of God, the Bible. We hear many people talk. I was there myself. I did a bunch of talking about God. I knew something about Him because as a child I went to church, Sunday school, and BTYU, and all kind of stuff. Sung in the church mass choirs, sung in the church youth choir, became an adult and joined the church, and had a family, took them to church, my children, and all this stuff, served in the church, usher, all this stuff. But in doing all of this, I yet had a form of godliness, and I denied the power thereof. This is the honest truth. But there was a day come that what I thought I learned in church, it just was not going to work for me. So what I had to do now is I had to figure out what I needed to do. Oh, they taught me the Bible, and a lot of it was true. But I didn't know how to organize it. I personally, with my flesh, didn't know how to put it into action to make it work for me. So that was this great day that come in September of 1993. And I needed help. And no man could help me. Only God could. So I went back to thinking, well, they told me about God, but I don't really know. Because all I did is it looked like it would do something for me. But right now, it's doing nothing. It couldn't do much because of this. I didn't have the one that inspired man to write it. I needed the author, basically, of a book. So what I did is I decided to try. I decided that, you know, I tried this over here, and I tried that over there, and then some things in there had even, when I was a sinner, had even blessed me. But I was confused in a lot of ways because I took the Bible many times in the wrong way. Y'all excuse me, I got to put my knee brace on this morning. But I took it in the wrong way. I took the Psalms as a way for enemies. If enemies, you know, people are against you, then you read the Psalms. So I was using God's word in the wrong way. But after that day at the window, I truly received him in my heart that day at the window. He began to show me the way, the real way to him, the real way to grow in him. It was through prayer and his inspired written word, his infallible word, the Bible. So after this, knowing all of this, and I asked him to, you know, repent it and ask him to come into my heart and live forever. And I told him I wanted my will to be his will. I wanted to be with him forever, and whatever it took for me to stay with him, I needed him to do that for me or show me how to do it. So what happened now is this. I continued to grow in him. Then he began to show me about the work. Because, see, I thought in the church, the little work you did over there, it made you feel good and you could tell people, oh, yeah, I serve on the usher board. Oh, yeah, with that form of godliness. I cook breakfast every first Sunday. I want to serve on the pastor's aid board to assist the pastor. I want to be an ambassador to the first lady. See, all of that sound good, all of that looked good, and all of that, but the whole thing of it, all of it is this. I was serving man and not God. When am I going to serve God now? He's the author and finisher of my faith. Because of him, I'm breathing. Yeah, I have him. But I wasn't really giving him anything. I was giving in to my feelings, you know, what I thought was good and what I thought felt good to me. That's what I was giving in to. And he come and he showed me, you got to give to me more than you give to anything else. You got to give it to me. So in my learning now, because I'm learning to do better, because now I know better. It brought me from 1993 to 2021 with a personal prayer life still, a Bible study life still, and I'm working. And I'm not working just in the building, not just unto the pastor and the people in the building, but in the hedges and highways, in the vineyard, which is the streets, around the homeless community, around the incarcerated community, around those who said there is no God. Around the drug abusive community, around the alcohol abusive community. I'm working now. The elderly community, children community. I'm working everywhere. And I learned these things are not called auxiliaries or some other form, but it's ministry unto God. It's work unto Almighty God who have all power. And it's not my own work. Because whatever has been done or being done is unto him and through him. Because of him, I'm able to do it. So I can't take credit for what I do or what I've done. And I use the word I to refer to me being a servant of God. It's nothing I've done. If I said anything to you and it inspired you more in God, that's him. I was simply a vessel that he could use. It was not my doing. It was not really my work. I was a hired servant unto him. So with God, all things are possible. It is the motto of the U.S. state of Ohio, quoted from the Gospel of Matthew, verse 19 and 26. It is the only state motto taken directly from the Bible. Isn't that something? In the state of Ohio. Now, I know this to be the truth. See, this is another thing in the Bible that I've experienced. I've experienced with God, all things are possible. With man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. We're still talking about the same God that inspired man to write his word, the Bible. We need a book like we need no other book. One of my favorite books is my friend Benny. I read many, many of books, but my friend Benny was one of my favorites. But the favorite book of mine, not one of them, but the favorite book of mine is the Bible. B-I-B-L-E. Because it can fix anything. That word of God that he inspired man to write and the experience of man through God that he inspired them to write, it heals anything. Any difficulty you have, any problem you got, sickness, a financial relationship, anything. That word can heal. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a lamp unto the believer, the Christian, the people of God. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It shows us the way to go. Because many times we may not know which way to go. And many times we say we're believers, we're the Christians, we're the saints of God, we're the people of God. But when we look at our actions, it don't qualify. It don't add up. Because we're still doing a lot of things we did when we was in the world. We have not learned to bring our flesh completely under subjection yet. Some will say, well, I'm working on it. But there are certain things you got to look at that you got to decide you want to go out of your life. The Bible will cure it along with you bringing your flesh under subjection, and God will come in and heal you. He will deliver you from the cussing. He'll deliver you from the gossip. Fornicating, because many times I've had people tell me, Barbara, you don't understand, this flesh is on fire. I'm not doing it, Barbara. Reading the scripture, not doing it. That's when you seek the word more and more and more. I had the same problem. And a friend of mine named Stephanie, she was a minister too. And she didn't know what was going on in my life. I was in the church. I had received, I had come from Alabama. So that's where I really received God, for real, in Alabama. I had come from Alabama. God had sent me back to Jacksonville, from Jacksonville back to Orlando, and a number of things had transpired. But I would walk the streets and minister to people, you know, on the job. We had a prayer circle every morning. We started with a few people. It grew so big we had to take it outside because there wasn't room enough in the building. Hundreds of employees. All of this stuff, but I was battling with my flesh. I was still battling with love for men in the wrong way. So she said, I have something I want you to look at. I said, okay. I didn't know Juanita Bynum. I didn't know much about Juanita Bynum. I had heard about her, but I didn't follow her ministry. So when I get to Stephanie's house, she said, take a listen to this. So I sat down, got comfortable on the couch. I think she was in the kitchen cooking and, you know, cleaning her house and stuff. And I'm on the couch listening to Juanita Bynum. And the name of it, I'll never forget it. No More Sheets. Anybody ever heard of that by Juanita Bynum? No More Sheets. See, God can use anybody, I'm here to tell you. He can use any man, any woman. The whole thing or the whole thing is this. Simply because God used you, it does not mean you're his. Yeah. But he can use you. He made you for his pleasure. You belong to him. And while he's using you, you will enjoy being used by God. When it's over, you go back to your flesh. So I'm sitting on the couch and I'm listening to this No More Sheep tape, the video. As God is using this woman, I receive the deliverance right there. I received my deliverance right there. After that, because I was one who loved to be in the presence of men. I liked to come, at that time, I enjoyed the compliment of men. I enjoyed the difference between a woman and a man. A lot of stuff was foolishness, nonsense, and I knew that, but I enjoyed it. You go see her. I am too. I'm still seeing this day for a lot of things as it come back to my mind. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And that's a good place to be. But after this, I decided no more sheets. But it, because he delivered me from the cussing, the marijuana smoking, the Crown Royal drinking, the clubbing, the Chippendales, and all of this other stuff. I was delivered. The dope selling, I was delivered. The dope trapping. I was delivered from all of this other stuff. But it appeared to be men was my weakness. And that was just something, it was a struggle for me to give up. It was hard for me to give up, but I was determined. I was determined that nothing would separate me because he had come. He had told me who he was. So if he was able to take the cussing and all this stuff, he could take the desire for men in the wrong way through fornication or adultery. He could remove that, deliver me from it, and he did. But afterwards, because see, when I first come to him, in my mind, who sleeps alone? What woman sleep alone at night, all these men out here? Why you got to sleep alone? No, you don't sleep by yourself. You sleep with somebody. Even if you didn't become intimate with each other, if you just invited them over to lay there and talk. Who sleeps by themselves? That was in my mind. When deliverance come, he showed me who sleeps alone. The true woman that I put my spirit in, I like to scream, who sleeps alone is the woman who is not married. Who sleeps alone is the woman that studied my word and saw that I said, don't let fornication be once named among you. Get your own husband. Don't commit adultery. Adulterers are going to hell if they don't change. He showed me this. That's who sleep alone, Barbara. Spirit of the Lord moves it. Hey, God. Because I remember those days. I told you that was a difference between the whore and the prostitute. The prostitute, she's not going to lay with a man unless he's paying. A whore will lay for fun. A whore will lay for the feeling, for the good time. Nothing walk away. Nothing added. You're not my boyfriend. You're none of that to me. I could care less about you. We had a night of fun. Goodbye. A week of fun, a month of fun, or however long we wanted the fun to last. And we were through. Younger than me, older than me, it didn't matter. But once I got delivered, I tried. It turned out to be the worst nightmare you ever want to be in. Ooh, it was horrible. I took a trip with the man to Atlanta. Oh, my good! I can't tell you what a terrible time that was. I had been delivered, and I'm going to try to ease back to the foolishness. God wasn't having it. And he wasn't doing it to destroy me, to punish me. He allowed it to show me, to teach me. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Seek after the new things. Seek after the spiritual things of me. Seek my word more. I delivered you. You try to go back. So he blessed me. As I went back to his word, as I went back to prayer, sincerely from my heart, accepting his word and praying sincerely from my heart. Not a form of godliness. Not what I think, but what I knew. The word of God, the Bible, it fully delivered me. I still enjoy being in the company of men. I still talk to men. But it's not the same. I don't flirt with men. I don't try to encourage men my way or none of that. If I meet a man and he's not talking about God, I find something common we can talk about. And afterwards, I'm out of there. And he has to never worry about me talking to him again. Because how can two walk together except they agree? You don't understand what I'm talking about, because in my conversation, the word of God is being spoken, but you don't know it, so you don't know what I'm talking about. You're looking at me strange. So I have a friend. He's not my man. He's not my boyfriend. He's my friend. Today, I look at him more like an older brother, and he's younger than me. And we talk. The only reason we can talk now is because he has received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And when I talk to him now, it's more God in the conversation than ever. It's more, without God, I can't do nothing. God is healing my body more. See, the reason I'm saying to you he's healing my body more is because I didn't allow him to just come in and heal it. I went to the doctors, and I'm doing what the doctors say, but I see the hand of God in that. God is moving. He's the healer, not the doctors. Yeah. I'm hearing him talk more of people acting like that because they don't have God. See, before it wasn't quite that. It was more of, let's get together. Let's do what men and women do. Yeah, let me do this for you and let me do that for you, because I want you to do this for me and that for me without being your wife. I had to show the proof was in the pudding. I had men I had to tell that I had dealt with before. Listen, do you want me to be a hypocrite like you've known other people to be? This is real to me, and I got to be real in it. They respected that. Said, okay, Barbara, God bless you. Because I had to prove I had God. I had to prove I wasn't working in my flesh. The Bible did this for me. The Word of God did this for me. His Word does it me. And the Spirit come in to lead and guide me, being delivered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. This is what the inspired word of God says, the Bible. And we must believe the Bible. Again, I believe that King James Version because that's where I saw me. That's where my experiences came. I could relate to what King James said about my flesh. I could relate to what he said about, I could relate to what he said about adultery. I could relate to what he said about doing things that was against God. I knew the difference between sin and iniquity. A lot of things come into play that man did not teach me. God taught me. I didn't want a third party because sometimes man don't quite have it right. And man would teach you according to himself. You got to be careful. What I try and teach is experiences of God, experiences of his word, what he said, certain things I try to constantly say to constantly remind us. Because I know that these are things that God has inspired to be so. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. I like to scream then, ha, glory to his majesty. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When his word says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. this morning, October 26, 2021, to be the truth. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I know it to be the truth. Barbara, how you know it to be the truth? The weapon has formed many times. Not just one weapon. Many weapons have formed against me, but they were not able to prosper. I know that to be the truth from experience. And it's in the infallible, inspired, written word of God, the Bible. When he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I've experienced that. I saw it first in his word, the Bible. When it says, I can look to the hills from which cometh my help. All of my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. I know it to be true. I had experiences. Over and over again, I've had all of these things have worked for me and have worked for many. So I know I'm not imagining these things, and I'm not crazy. I know that prayer works. I know that anything I ask in his son's name, he's able to do it. I know that you got to tell me anymore. I know from experience that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, his only offspring. He sent Jesus to save, to keep us from going to hell. To bless us that we have an eternal life of goodness. He didn't even bring marriage in there. He didn't even bring parents and sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, aunts and cousins and uncles. He didn't even bring that in there. When we go back with him, this is how well he has made things for us. When he said he sent his son back to prepare a place for us that we may be also one day, I know this to be true. I've seen. And it wasn't a figment of my imagination. It's the truth. I found all of it in the Bible. Again, the inspired word of God. I'm so grateful unto him this morning that I know him for myself. I'm so grateful for every experience I've had through him. I'm so glad he taught me so that nobody may not understand, but I know it to be the truth for myself. So I can't let nothing separate me from him are his word. Him are his word. I just cannot do it. It won't work. I gotta have him. Yeah. I've gotta have him. I can't make it without him. Because I've learned just how much I need him. See, when I was in the world and of the world and going to church with the form of godliness, denying the power thereof, I really didn't know how much I needed him. I really didn't know then, too, how much he was in my life. I didn't know. I thought the alarm clock woke me up every morning. I thought I got up in my own strength and energy and made my children breakfast, got them dressed for school, did laundry, went to work, came home, dealt with people. I thought it was just me. But he showed me it was never you. It has always been me. Because, see, he decides and who leaves. He decides who wake up every morning, clothed in their right mind, using activities like him, life, health, and strength. He decides. Many times I know we think we decide, but it's not our decision. He picks us up. And everything, his word, his inspired word that he inspired man to write, every word it says, I promise you, it is true. I have no reason to get up 7 a.m. in the morning and come here lying to nobody. I have no reason to do that. I wake up these days sleepy. I get up around 1 sometime. Sometime back up around 3. Back up around 5. And nod back off at 5 when I know anything is 6. Time to really get up. This morning I saw the alarm clock said 6:15. And I said, I'm going to lay here until 6 o'clock. I said, I'm going to lay here until 6:30. When I knew anything, it was 6:15. Yeah, when I knew anything, it was 6:15. Well, I only had 15 minutes to get in here and open everything up. I was like, wow. And I still felt that if I laid on back down, I would sleep right on. Oh, yeah. So it's him that wake us up. It's him that give us the strength to get up. It's not the vitamins you take, although we need to feed the body like we feed our spirit man. But it's him. We see in the day because of him. We have the use of our hands, our feet, our toes, our fingers, our eyes, our ears, breathing through our nose and mouth because of him. And his word says the Bible. He loves us so. Look what his word says. And he inspired man to write it. If we keep our mind on him, he will keep us in perfect peace. That is so true. I'm not telling you what the preacher told me, the Sunday school teacher told me. I read it on the internet, the TV band. No, I'm not telling you what they said. I'm telling you from experience. It's true. Hallelujah. And the more you build a personal relationship with him, and you got the personal Bible study going. I had said many days if I was married to the man of God. Ooh, we wake up Saturday morning and get in that word together. He read a verse and explain it. I read a verse and explain it. And we hang out together in the word. He come home, I'm on my knees praying. He don't ask no questions. He just bow down with me, touching and agreeing on what I say, asking the Lord to do it. Lord, whatever she praying for, God, I ask that you would do it for her. And then we pray together for us. We never stop this. We could be angry with each other, but in the morning, we're not angry because we let the sun go down on our wrath. We didn't go to bed angry. We got some things resolved. And in the morning when we wake up praying. We wake up asking God to show us both the right way to go. Sometimes he may come and say, look, I don't think what you're saying is right. Now, I haven't found it in the scripture yet, but I'm looking for it. But I just don't think what you're saying is right. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to ask him. And we both go to the Lord in prayer. Sincere prayer. Hallelujah. I promise you it'll work together for our good. I promise you it'll be a beautiful thing. God have a mighty of working things out. He's got a mighty sweet way of moving in our lives for us we have a better life. Yeah. That we know better now what to do. See, before we didn't know, but now we know. There's a better way, and we're choosing that better way. Mm-hmm. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He's on our side today in spite of us. Looking beyond fault and yet meeting needs. Giving us day after day, chance after chance, every day. But we must get in that Bible and live the Word of God. The Holy Bible. We got to live this Word until the end. Yeah. I heard Washer say that good thing he began to do in us, he will continue. I believe until the day I die, God will to perfect me. He started a work in me, and he won't stop until it's completed. Yeah, because I'm not perfect now, but I believe there's a day coming. Because Paul said he was going to show us a mystery. We all would be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Yeah. So I thank God for his many blessings that God received in me. Thank him for sanctifying and setting me aside unto himself, because the work is unto him. It's personal. I thank God for filling me with his spirit. And I have a mind and a heart to follow it says, to obey the Holy Spirit. He's my leader, he's my teacher, and he's my guide. You've heard me say many times, he'll say to me, don't say that, Barbara. Don't do that. Go back. I can lose something. And I said, Lord, where? In the spirit of the Lord to speak. He'll speak. And look on the dresser. Look on the table. Go back in the bathroom. Look on the counter. Huh? Not that it's a lot of stuff on the counter in the bathroom or the dresser or anything, but I'm not in the bedroom or the bathroom. I'm in my office. I'm in the kitchen. I may be in the living room. So I'm not where these things are. So he'll say, go back in there. There are the keys on the counter. Bless me to know this. Every time I come back in the house from driving my truck, put the key in a certain place. Wherever your purse is, the keys be right next to it. That way, every time you get ready to go, the keys are right there. I have certain places I put certain things. That way, I never have to look for it. If I use mustard, I'm done. I put the mustard back in the refrigerator in the slot I've allotted for mustard. That's God. See, a lot of little things, we call them little things. We just don't know how big that thing really is. And God is blessing us to get it done. I'm grateful unto him this morning for all he has done. What he's doing right now. Because right this second, God is doing something for us. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. He'll be with us until the end. Yeah. And so we thank him. Yeah. I'm grateful unto him this morning. There's none like him. We can search all over. We won't find anybody, nobody greater than him. Listen, I looked at 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13, but this calls also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that Did you hear that? Yeah. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. John 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That was Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2:17 says this, but we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. The word. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:25 says this, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Oh, it's in here for us. It's in here for us. And so we got to seek it. We got to seek that word of God. Okay, see on Revelation 21. Yeah. A couple of more here, and then we go into Revelation and look at that. 1 Kings 12:22, but the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Psalms 56:4, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Psalms 56:10, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Acts 19:20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Oh, I'm going to get on away from this. Acts 12:24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. 1 Timothy 4:5, but it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Every word of God is pure. Proverbs 30:5. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. I know you've heard me say that many times. Every word of God is pure. And he's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. If we trust him, he's going to protect us. If we get in that word and activate it, apply that word, our everyday life, he's going to shield and protect us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. For his word, I didn't go to this one quite yet, is a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light unto our path. Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, if his word is settled in heaven, we know what it is on the earth. It's true. The word can do anything you need to have done if you want to do what's right. If you want to do what's right, the word is your best bet. Yeah. I'm looking at Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Didn't I tell you? And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he would dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. and said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Hallelujah. John was out on that Isle of Patmos. He said he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Ooh, I feel all right there. Verse 6 of Revelation 21 says, and he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Oh, I like that right there. I like that right there. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Look at this. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Hallelujah. We're going to use that generic term, right? The son or daughter. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And you think I don't want to run this race all the way to the end and get my inheritance? Oh, no, don't play. Verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talk with me, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Hallelujah. And he carried me away in the spirit to a, I said, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as a crystal, and had a great wall, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. Ayasha. Hey, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you today, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 47, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. The city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. I couldn't imagine. Oh, my goodness. And the foundation of the wall of the city was garnished with all manner of precious stones. The foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony. Y'all know C-H-A-L. O-N-Y, the fourth, and emerald. I got to look that up. I had never heard of that one right off. The fifth, the sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite, C-H-R-Y-S-O-L-I-T-E. The eighth, beryl, B-E-R-Y-L. The ninth, a topaz. The tenth, a C-H-R-Y-S-O-P-R-A-S. I should have let him read this. I got to go back over this, Sion. I likes this right here, and I likes it a lot. The 11th, adjacent. The 12th, and amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. My goodness, my goodness. And the city had no need of the sun, listen to this, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. My goodness. And the nation of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Huh? And the gates of it shall be not shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination among the eye, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Woof! My goodness. I told you, heaven is a special place. Any and every old thing is not there. Mm-mm. And the people that's going are special. Because not just any and every old kind of people is going to heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And some people say, well, I'm afraid of Revelation. You heard all this. But yeah, I heard all this going on over there. And I love it. I love what's going on over there. I'm looking back because I mispronounced these words. And I want to go back and find these words because I want to make them right. Oh, yeah. Talk about that. Look at that. Say, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. 21 and 18. Ooh, I'm like, my boy, I could only imagine what it would be like. I don't know if I could even imagine it, if I'm honest. Okay, that go the first word. Okay, y'all, bear with me here. We're gonna try to find it here. I wonder, could I get to pronounce it for me? Y'all hold on. Okay, let's see if he'll pronounce it for me. No, he won't be here. Okay, let me go back, y'all. I gotta go back. No night needed. Hallelujah. Is that something? You don't need no night. I gotta write the word. Well, let's see. Let's see if I can get him down to 21 and 18 so he can pronounce these words. Let's see.
Revelation 21.
Is he gonna start?
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem.
Okay, I'm going to just have to write them down, and I'm going to reread this. He can pronounce it for me, and I'll let you know what it was. That was 18. I'm going to go to 19 because there's some more words in there. So I'll find the correct pronunciation of these words, and we'll go from there. Okay. Y'all, intercessors, I need y'all to pray for Clifford Afford. Clifford Afford. And to be honest with you, this is my cousin on my dad's side. This is my dad's nephew's son. I went to spend the summer with them one year in a place called Sylvester, Georgia. So he just said to me, so I need us to pray for Clifford. Yeah. Put him on your prayer list. So when you go around, he had some throat issues. He said he's battling with the throat issues, and he had throat surgery recently. and the outer layer of the throat vocal cords were removed. So we want to pray for him today. Yeah. God is faithful. God is faithful. Yeah, we're going to pray for him, and it's going to be all right. And we're going to one more song of the morning. We'll come back. The studio is open. If there's anyone who has something they would like to say, feel free today. And press that number one. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to this one.
Come on, everybody. Get your feet happy. Let's go. Come on.
Bye-bye. Hallelujah. To my pain, sorrow, no money. So long. Bye-bye. Hey, God is able, and I believe in this morning. And you know what? I'm telling you the truth. The more you give, the more you're going to receive. And I have been planting seeds and paying my tithes and offering, and I keep giving to the church, you know, Divine Truth and Deliverance Ministry. And when I tell you, every time I look around, God is blessing me. And so I'm so thankful unto him. And also, intercessors, we want to pray for Clifford Alfred. And we also want to pray for Cobrisha, my grandbaby. Let's pray for Cobrisha. She need prayer. Hey, y'all hear me? And pray for her mother, too, Portia. Portia is the mother. My baby. Let's pray for her. Pray for me too. Keep me in prayer because I want to help Portia that Portia don't go to jail. Bye, Cobrisha. Please. Cobrisha's a teenager. And when you got girls, you got to watch them. You got to watch them boys too. You just have to watch children. And Portia trained her and told her, you never have to lie to me about anything. And when Portia find out she done lied about something, it almost caused her to lose her mind because this my younger, Ma, and I can't trust her, Ma. Ma, I can't trust my own younger. I'm going to kill her. No, don't do it. Please don't kill her. Don't kill her. It's going to be all right. Calm down. Don't touch it. Please don't touch it. Yeah. And so y'all keep us in prayer. I decided to start going to the school to check in with Cobrisha more often because her mother work and she's not always able to be to the school in the day. And you got to show the school now that you love your child and you love your child to take out of your busy schedule and come to the school and talk to the administration of the school know you. So they're going to learn your ways. They're going to know about you. Them teachers going to know you. You don't email me back. I'm coming to the school to see you now because you didn't email me back. I called you. You didn't answer the phone. You want me to show up at the school. So here I am, and I want to talk to you private. If I can make a certain conference with you at a certain time of the week around my schedule and your schedule, here I am. I'm there before you get there because this is my child. And I got to show love. And with girls today in an internet and a phone, when I tell you, you got to put the phone on lock when you're not sitting right next to them. They can't be on it. Pedophiles, traffickers, all kind of foolishness. Older girls pulling the younger. Oh, no. I'm going to sit right here. You don't know nothing about that stuff because I got you a phone in case of an emergency. But I'm going to lock the phone. Yeah, it's some things parents have to be responsible for. And daddies, don't play with your daughters. Don't let them come with that foolishness. I've seen my son. He tell me about my granddaughter that's got Down syndrome. See, y'all play with her too much. See, she know what she doing. She know what's going on. Yeah, and she really do. That little girl there, it's something serious. It's not funny. But if they watch her, they keep a watch over her. If the mother don't have it, the grandmother have it. The grandmother have it, the daddy have it. So he telling us how strong and how firm he is with her. And see, I spank her behind. Y'all don't know Down syndrome or not. I know she know better. I get her. We saw him melt up like butter. My daughter-in-law and I, we looked at each other and just shook our heads. He's so strong. He's stronger than us. He'll whip her behind. Won't touch her. And when she said, Daddy, oh boy, just fall apart. I saw Cobrisha do her dad like that. She had gotten in trouble at school fighting. She was a little girl in kindergarten, hadn't even got in the first grade, fighting at the school. Because the cousin and the grandmother run the daycare. So she got into a fight over there. So when she got with the mom and dad, I had picked them up and went to pick her up. And so he told her, you can't have nothing today. Don't know how to act at the school. You know better, Cobrisha. We're not training you to do that. Well, I went in the store and bought a popsicle. He said, yeah, and give me that popsicle. She can't have it because she don't know how to behave in school. Popsicles for little girls that know how to behave in class. So when we got home, he put the popsicle in the freezer when we got to my house. And he was sitting on the couch, and my daughter was sitting in the chair at the desk at the computer. And Cobrisha eased over there and set up on him. He put his arm around him, my baby. This and that and that by his baby. My daughter, I turned around. My daughter looked at me and I looked at her because we knew where it was going. He didn't know where it was going. My daughter and I, we knew. In a few minutes, she said, Daddy, may I have my popsicle, please? He said, yeah, go ahead and get the popsicle. She gets the popsicle out the freezer, come back and sit right back next to him eating the popsicle and offer him some. So he bit a little bit of the popsicle. She bite a little bit of the popsicle. Me and my daughter looking at each other. He did all this big talk about how weak my daughter and I, you know, we so weak for Cobrisha, she'll get away with murder. He don't play that. He'll spank her behind. He'll straighten her out. He a man. He don't do what women do. Cabrisha had him wrapped right around her finger. My daughter and I, we just look at each other and shake our head when he's not looking. Because he done did all of this big talk. Yeah. But you got daddies, watch your daughters. Don't be so gullible because she's a girl and she's your daughter. Uh-uh. I need you to stand up and really be a man with your daughter. Be strong and watch her. Mothers, watch your daughters. All that friendship, I'm going with my friends. You can go with your friends on my watch. Me, you, and your friends will go together. Because I can't let you out my sight today. Because you show me when I'm not around what you're capable of doing. Yeah. I can't even trust you the first time. Because so much is going on and the internet is so widespread. And a lot of these men are from overseas, grown men. Yeah. So we got to be careful and watch our children. Boys, too, you watch them. And see, they tell them, meet me to the so-and-so. But it's gullible, going wherever he said to meet her and meet him and you never see her again. Oh, no, I can't take that, Cobrisha. Yeah, I have to bat a hammer down. Where you are, that's where I'm going to be. When your mother can't be there, I'm going to be there, Cobrisha. I'm retired. I can do this. I can make my appointments around you. I'm going to start going to the school and everything. Yeah, because she's been away at least 2 years and come back tall as a tree. Yeah, come back with the shirt tied up and the poses. I mean, she's been posing it, but the poses has gotten much more ridiculous in my book. So now I got to pull it in. And the mama want me to, because she know me. Yeah. She knows it. I don't play the radio. I told her yesterday. I said, if she appear there, she's not going to listen. After do, she wants you to cut her hair and leave patches in it. Put her on the raggedest clothes you can find from the thrift store. Stuff a little bit too big for shoes, a little bit too big. You done talk to the school and let them know that's a punishment. Y'all know she don't come to school like this every day. But this is a punishment to show her I am not playing. I say, ask her do she want that and tell her either you or myself will walk her every day to make sure she don't put a hat on, she don't put a scarf on it, that the whole school see what she looking like and just call her Raggedy Patches. Yep, that's what I said, Raggedy Patches. My daughter screamed. She said, Mama, yes, yes. So when she talked to Cobra, she asked her, is this what you want? You want your head patched up and raggedy clothes on? And since you love taking baths and all of that, I'm going to send you over there raggedy and dirty. Yeah, I might get the clothes from the thrift store, take them out and rub them in the dirt a little bit and let you put them on and go on over there to the school and see how that make you feel. Yeah, you got to give them something they can feel. I'm telling you, hey. It's just not like when I was a child. We feared them parents. Yeah. But today it's a whole different world. Whole different world. And the leading law enforcement and all, they don't even know what time it is. They do, but they don't care. I'm assuming it's not their children. Now, if it hit home, I'm sure to be a horse of a different color. But you put all of this stuff in place to keep parents from training their children and doing what they're supposed to do. It's probably in the heart of a child, and you got to beat it out of them sometime. I'm sorry. Yeah. They need to know. If you can't hear by the ear, you'll feel by the behind. Oh, yeah. And it's all right. Good morning, Miss Jerry. God bless you. I'm coming at you right now.
Good morning, Sister Barbara. How are you?
I'm good over here. Good.
I am very good, too. I mean, I was listening to the show and listening to the show. But I'm going to start with the Bible first, and then I'm going to come back with Koisha. I'm going to come back to that. But I was listening to the show about the flesh. The flesh is a mess. But I got to John 1. Those of us that is having, I'm not having a problem with the flesh. I don't know what's wrong with me. But those of us that's having a problem with flesh, let's just take a look at what John 1 says. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the beginning with God. All things were made through God, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of man. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness was not, the darkness had not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came with witness to bear. Witness about the light that all might believe. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. This morning, you know, yesterday evening I did therapy yesterday morning. And yesterday evening I went to sleep until 7 o'clock. I paid the price because I was sick all night long up until 3 o'clock this morning. I said, God. And then I remember what God said in his word. I am the head of man's life, and man is the head of the wife. I said, the Lord, I don't have a husband. He said, so I'm the head of your life, Jerry. And as the head of your life, I can fix anything that's wrong with you. If weapons are being formed against you, I won't allow them to do anything to you. I need you to start praying better and eating better. We got to know that God is the head of our lives. And without him, nothing, absolutely nothing, not even the flesh. Oh, I'm not saying that flesh is going to get you on fire, eat you up. I don't know. They haven't done that to me, bro. As my brothers, and I have about four brothers, they said, we don't know what's wrong with you. I said, I guess because I'm with God, I don't have that unction and feeling. There's no way it went away. I didn't say it went away. I just don't. But, oh, I'm not trying to put on the Coisha outfit and really show them what's really going on. I mean, I'm not trying. I don't have that unction. I don't even want to float with you. I don't want to do anything with you anymore because, see, I want to be led by God. Listen to Sister Barbara talking in the morning. If God didn't say it, I don't want to do it. Now, if God says it, I got to be obedient and take care of it. But I thank God that he's the head of my life. And whatever comes upon me, whether it be financial difficulty, health issues, God got this. I mean, called in this morning. I told Sister Barbara, I said, Sister Barbara, I'm sick this morning. And while she was speaking, I was praying. And I'm here to tell you, Sister Barbara, I'm feeling 100% better. My brother had to help me in and out the shower. I was so sick. He said, Sis, what's wrong? I don't know. He got up and said, you looking different. Your accountant's looking different. You look brighter. I know. I feel so good. That's how quick God can turn a bad situation around. He's turning it around for me. He will not allow me to get deep in my sadness. He's the head of my life. And he had to remind me, Jerry, I'm the head of your life. You have no husband. I'm the head of your husband's life, who's the head of the wife's life. I said, oh, thank you, God. Your flesh. Read John 1 through 14. Your flesh. Some people's flesh is a mess. So Coisha, she's walking into lies and alibis, and her lies is about to get her all. She's getting all jammed up. She's like, oh, God. But my children understand lies and alibis. I do despise. The more you tell me lies, the more you're going to have you behind. But, you know, I taught them that soul servant. If I can't take your word above all others, I mean all others, I don't care if it's the preacher telling me you did something. You tell me another story, I got to believe it. But if I find out that you are a liar, as they say, give your heart to God, because your behind belongs to me. And you better pray that God has a pulling point, because God's word says, spoil the child, spare the rod, spoil the child. I'm not spoiling nothing. I don't eat spoiled food, and I don't give you spoiled food. And you're right, Barbara. We have to go to the school to check on these children. I drive from Jacksonville to Starks. I say, I'll never know when grandmama going to show up. And when he see me, he go, hey, grandma. So nervous. Because he already know. I know your daddy and your mother don't believe in spanking, but I tear that up. I just tear it up. I named you Isaiah for a reason, because God said in his word, I would uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's in Isaiah. Grandmama, I do my best. I'm still a child. Don't try to manipulate the manipulator. Child, go somewhere and sit down. Tell me the truth, Isaiah. Well, I got bored. I may know A's. All I was 1 point away from the B. That means you were aiming for a B, but see what you were aiming for, you didn't get. And now that puts you in the C situation. But, Grandmama, C is good because that's what our last name start with, crowd. That's a good thing. Oh, you're right. And you know what our name don't start with? Well, Grandmama, electronics. So that's a good thing. Grandmama needs to pull up on buying electronics now because we need to focus on C. I got you, Grandmama. I got you. I got you. 3 weeks later, he's in the math club. Grandmama, they put me in the math club, and now I'm working on the chess club. I believe we've got to get a child mind focused away from foolishness. He's 7 years old. Now, his sister is 9 years old. That's a different story. She's got a phone, and she sent me. She called me from another number on her phone. And I said, what is she doing? She's 9 years old and showing off her beautiful body. You ain't even got nothing but flat chest. You got to put an eye on our children, girls and boys. Because I am grandmama. I'm the fairy grandmother, but I'm the grandmama that will lose her temper. So I leave it to the warden, who's their Nana. But when Nana saw what she was doing, Lord have mercy on poor little Emma. I think she won't be doing those things no more. She found out what discipline meant, do's and don'ts. And Isaiah called me and said, Grandmama, I learned from Emma not to make Nana mad because Nana would call the police while she beat me behind. I said, did she beat you or something? No, but Emma's in so much trouble, it scared me. I was happy for it. I don't want to have him to subject that. But these children are getting away with too much. It takes a village to raise them. Every teacher at that school knows me, Nana, and the mother. I can't say much about the father because, you know, he's just dead. But when my husband was living, they knew Grandpa because Grandpa made a visit from Jacksonville to Starks every Friday. They saw Grandpa. I just checking in to see what's going on around here. He didn't just sit in the parking lot and pick the kids up. No, he walked in. Friendly Bob talked to the office people. They sent him on down to the classroom. He met with the teachers. Can I help you in here? Well, you need to take a break. I got the kids. You have to get involved. That school knows the crowd last name. That school now knows the Phillips last name. We're not going to play with our children because it causes problems for them in the end. Like Jesus said in his word on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. Our children and grandchildren do not know what they're doing. So we must be there for them. I know it sounds cruel to beat them in some ways, but I feel like not cutting their hair out, that's a little extreme, barber crazy. I feel like giving them things to do, not just mop the floor. I think she needs to really clean that stove up under the vent, get all the grease from under there. I mean, she needs to get the cracks out. I mean, she needs to lose her TV. I would put her on some different type clothing, but not dirty clothing. I would put on different type clothing, and I would let her know, I'm the pop-up Pillsbury Doughboy. I'm popping up on you. And then if it's something she really likes, I would have to, under no circumstances, take it from her. It must go. I mean, I like Payless shoes, but it had to go out of business. It must go. I love certain things to eat. Chocolate cake with scoops of ice cream, but it must go. Certain things must go because God in his word said, spare the rod for the child. God is not like man. He shall not lie. And when he says no, he keeps his nose. He don't let you scoot up under him and say, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I just didn't know what came over me. You just might make Jesus even angrier. Because he said in his own words, vengeance is mine. Don't allow God's wrath to come upon you. So I'm trying to be real good. I mean, I do my little different manipulation with my husband. Honey, baby, don't do that with God. So in the name of Jesus, I'm going to pray for poor Carisha because, Lord have mercy. But the children are growing up faster now. They're smarter than we were. I mean, for you to have a phone and call me from another number on that same phone and show up on my number. I answer the phone. I say, hello. Hey, Grandma. I say, who is this? I mean, it's me, Emma. How you got another number on this phone number? Oh, I learned that I put an app on my phone that I can call you on my phone from another phone, and then you won't know it's me. Made me have to go to T-Mobile and get a record of the phone, and you know the strangest thing? That phone number she called me on did not show up on my bill nor her record. They're smarter than us. We need to be careful, and we need to keep our children in prayer. I know how now to do it, but it's dangerous. You'll have people from foreign countries talking to your child because she's talking to them on a number that you have no idea that she's using. You give her one phone, she's got another phone number attached to it. So in the name of Jesus, I pray for these children. I know spankings used to do us some good, but not really, because even though my mom spanked me, I had to still come to the school. But I don't know if spankings work, but I do know prayers work. And this is going to be having God, we need you. You can spank all you want to. I'm a living example. Got that spanking. Barbara Steele had to escort me to the office to wait on mommy to come get me and tear it up. Even the principal spanked it. But one day, prayer changes things. I went to the school so many times for my middle child, I lost my mind. I just pulled over the road and screamed. And that's when I realized I needed Jesus. You can spank them, you can holler at them, but I've learned the military cleaning really helps them out. I kept a house very clean with my children. I mean, the baseboards was clean, in the cracks of the baseboards was clean. I didn't just have no sweeping mop. No. The windowsills was clean. The blinds was clean. The ceiling fans had no dust on them. And my floor stayed polished. And I took from you what you loved the most, and I fed you what you disliked the most. At least I was feeding you. You didn't like oatmeal? That's what you're having today, some oatmeal with some wheat toast. I'm feeding you. Oh, you want some meat? I got some Vienna sausages for you. because this is what you earn from me, since my hard working is not helping you. I have you some oatmeal, about 4 Vienna sausage, and a slice of toast. Go somewhere and sit down, and you may have a glass of water.
Well, see, today, the children are not the same.
No, they're not. And you can't spank them.
Well, I'm not saying you can't spank, but each child is different today. So a lot of things that work, I promise you, is not allowed today, and really it won't work for them. But now, here's the kicker. According to you give the punishment according to the child. See, we know what disturbs Cobrisha. Cleaning won't disturb her because her mama keep a dog. She have children.
Okay.
These children, so that's not going to bother her. But her appearance, see, she into fashion. She into makeup. She into jewelry now. And
We want to take her to the flea market.
No, we're not going to the flea market. We're going to pack her up. See, going to the flea market, that don't matter to her. As long as she dress nice and neat in the colors that, you know, match, she good.
Oh, I see. So it don't matter if they use clothes or not. It's just as long as she looks good in them.
As long as she look good in them. But see, if her head is patched up.
you just determined to get those patches going, aren't you?
Okay. The head patched up, Jared.
Don't do the baby like that. Don't patch the hair up.
Look at here. That head is patched up. used clothes on from the, what's the name of the place?
Thrift
the Goodwill or somewhere. Thrift store. And she saw you throw them on the ground and got some dirt on the knees of the jeans. And that's what you wear. And you know what? You go wear it today because you took a shower this morning to put it on. And when you come home, you're going to wear it tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
Bobby,
right,
you got a handle on this. See, God gave me boys, so they were rugged, rugged, rugged. Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, see, I have 4 boys and 4 girls. You see, now it's been 2 years since Cobrisha and I spent time together. But see, I know her. I even know her from her childhood, and what I see in her today: fashion, jewelry, makeup, all of this.
Oh, but she's beautiful. I mean, she just beautiful. Barbara, she reminds me of you when you was in the 5th grade. She's beautiful. And she got the Coca-Cola body.
Well, she have confidence, and that's a good thing, but you got to use confidence in the right way, Jerry. And see, all of that, I'm not mean to her, but I mean what I say to her. You understand? And this is how I do it. You going to go to that school with your head patched up with them dirty jeans and that dirty shirt on. And when you come home,
once you cut the hair, it's gonna take a long time for it to grow back.
It's on Jerry. It's on her. I said, if you do this again, if I catch you in the wrong with this situation again, I'm patching up your head. You're in 10th store, raggedy clothes, dirty to school, and you're gonna wear them 2 days in a row. I'm going to the class with you to make sure you go in the school early enough that everybody see your patched up head and them dirty old clothes on you and walk you to your class, because I've already gone to the school and I've explained to the school the punishment and why I'm doing this, because it's so serious. Yeah.
You're right, but patching the hair, I mean, I'd rather just go ahead and spank me. Just go ahead and
Listen, Jerry, that would get her way worse than a behind spanking, chores for a month, can't go nowhere for a month, can't watch TV. All of these things, she got them too. She got to do all of that too. But you're going patched up. with raggedy clothes on.
Patches on
patches. Yeah, I told my daughter, I said, you're going to call her Raggedy Patches. I'm not playing with you. I'm not playing. See, I got to give you something you can feel. Because if I don't give you something you can feel, you're going to continue to do what you want to do. Because at a certain age, nothing mattered to them but what they want to do.
I hear you, Barbara. Now, that's a severe. That's severe. That's going to get her attention. That is, the patch is going to definitely get her. It's going to get her attention better than my mama when I tried to set the house on fire.
Okay, well, Gary, see, look. The patches is going to get her attention. And it's severe because what she's doing is severe. You get punished according to the crime. Yeah.
Ooh, it's grandmama, I'm glad I'm a grandmama, but I'm not the grandmama. I just basically, I don't even be bothered with the grandkids. They come in for about 30 minutes and they go on. I don't do long term.
See, I do long term. When the summer out, I used to keep her for the whole summer. School was in, and sometimes I would have her for the whole week, taking her to and from school. Yeah, when she got out of school and she got in the car, the first thing I said to her, are you hungry? Yes, Grandmama. I said, where would you like to go? I want to go to churches. I want to go to Wendy's. I want to go to Burger King. I want to go to McDonald's. I would take her and get her a snack. And then you get home and get that homework. See, because it's done got to the place of now where I don't want to do homework because I do the homework on the bus on the way home from school. I do the homework before I leave the class. So when I get home, I don't want to do nothing else but talk on this phone, do on this app or whatever you want to do. No, I asked her mother years ago to put her into some kind of instrument class, like playing the piano, playing the guitar, because you got to keep children busy, because if not, they can get into trouble. Yeah, so you keep them occupied. Because she done did many friends at the school, and she following up what the friend does, then what I'm doing is I'm taking her away from the school activities, in this kind of club. No, you're not doing that. What you're going to do is go to piano class. When you're done with piano class, we go to the gym. Because the mama take her to the gym with her, but she still have some spare time because she don't have home. She get home and get those
things
done.
Right, smart one.
Yeah.
She get her homework out the way so she can have time to do what she wants to do. That's she's
homework
very smart.
Homework out the way, chores out the way. In between times, I'm on the app, I'm on the phone. Then we go to the gym. When we leave the gym, I'm not that tired because I've been going doing it so long. I'm used to it now. So I come back home, get back on the phone, get back on the app. I told Mom, I said, somewhere in there, you're not watching as well as praying. You got to watch as well as praying on this new world, new age group of people. And see, no, I had Friday evening, Saturday, and Sunday, and I knew everything. Why? I watch. You can't tell kids to me that I watch. See, they may think I'm asleep. They may think I'm not paying them no attention. Because, see, when I first saw her do something, I didn't interrupt it, say nothing. I act as if I didn't see it. Because if I waited, I was going to get the whole picture. So I gave it a little bit, and I got the whole picture. Then she didn't even know I was telling her mother. I talked to her, got on to her, and she thought she was good. She was out the door, and this was between she and I. But I didn't call the mother because she would have heard the conversation. I text the mom. So when the mom brought it up to her, it was the element of surprise. Yeah. She tried to hide some things.
Oh, well, you're so good. But that's why I have Isaiah. I have him in Club Scout. I got him in chess, and he's in math club. He's got a big. I failed Emma because I just now I'm getting her in things like the Ladies of Pearl. But see, Emma said, "Well, I'm not good at math. I don't want to be in the math club. I don't want to play chess." I don't like chess. You don't even know. So I say, well, I'm going to get you in the backgammon. I don't know what that is. You like it. I got to give Emma from so much free time because an idle, what did you say, an idle mind is the devil's workshop.
Yeah, that's what they say.
But,
Jerry, but
I don't think so. I think these children need what you're doing, Barbara.
It can be, Jerry, but this is the thing. Let me show you this. Today, younger parents in my book, they give the children too much freedom without watching them. You got to watch them today. You can't
but
just take their words.
We be so tired.
Well, you need more vitamins or drink you some iron or something. But you're going to have to watch over your children in 2021. If not, they'll disappear. You never see them again. The world will have them, and they doing what the world doing. Because, see, I saw when Cobrisha had the shirt and the little short, I wanted to take the picture and put it, you know, out there. I went ahead and did it. The next picture, she was fully dressed, but the pants are a little tight. And I looked. And I'm not saying that, you know, the mother always have money as soon as she grows to rush out to get new stuff.
I understand what you're saying. I understand.
Yeah, and see, I saw from that, I said, oh, your mama needs help, baby. Your mama needs help with you. And a lot of times
mama,
you can't depend on the daddy.
She likes to wear those fitted leggings where they really fit. And I said, oh, Emma, I think these are little. No, Grandmama, they just right. But Nana said the same thing. But see, then the mama said, oh, they look good on her. Okay. And that's when Emma started getting in her mind to pull the tops up and put the tights on. And, ooh, Lord, Jesus.
Yeah, because see, parents, in my book, they're not responsible. In my book. And they're giving too much freedom to the children because they felt like my daughter, you know, they felt like they was in bondage. Well, I kept you in bondage for a certain period of time to keep you safe. And they teach you some things. And you're not keeping your daughter in bondage to keep her safe because you don't want her to feel in bondage. I want you to feel in bondage. And while I'm teaching you, I want to show you what's in the world. Because, see, I take it, I show you stuff on TikTok. You see what's that's because of this, this, and that as a child. Oh, yeah. So, and see, you got to have patience. If you don't have patience for children, leave children where they are. Be careful. Don't even talk about children if you don't have patience. But it looks good. These girls at the school, they have babies. They rolling them to the school in strollers, and the baby dressed up like a little doll, and they ain't all to it. Now it's a lot more to it, and as they get older, it's much, 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 much more to it the older that they get.
So, yes, God.
I don't think it's a harsh punishment. I think it's a strong punishment for strong misbehaving. Now, if you don't want this to happen to you, then you're going to do what I'm asking you to do. But now, if you nonchalant and you don't care about the punishment, do it again. See what I do. If I don't patch you up, because, see, she likes to look good with the latest fashion. See the jeans with the slits. See, you with my daughter, you wear that. I don't even get down like that. I'm not buying no jeans. Yeah, no, I can't do it. And see, a lot of these new parents, they don't understand. And they fall in the ways of the world. I have to watch what you watch on TV. I'm going to know about your phone because your phone is mine. Whatever you do on your phone, I'm going to know about it as soon as you do it. I can be sleeping. When I wake up, I'm going to know what you've done on your phone. You got to watch as well as pray today. I'm serious about that. And I don't always believe I'm whooping because of this. If they get immune to the butt whipping, then what you going to use?
I don't know nothing, really.
See, this is a horrible thing she did, so I'm going to give you a horrible punishment. Now, the next time you do something horrible, I might just go on and get that butt righteously. Call the police in the back. But most of all, you'll probably be calling the rescue to see if they can put your behind out because it's burning. Because I done spanked it quite well. Yeah. That's who you need to call because your butt is burning. I can't tolerate it. No. You got to act with a sound mind. Yeah, I got to give you what you can feel over here. And I know you're not feeling the spanking. You're not feeling that. And I don't want to abuse you. You know, because I know when a mom get mad, Karen go out the door. That's why I was begging her yesterday, do not touch her. Calm down. Don't even talk to her no more until you calm down. But I know that
when I'm angry, I can't stop myself. I just can't.
And so that turned into abuse then, Jerry. See, my dad taught me that. My dad didn't spank me when he was angry. He said, I'm going to get you later. And later came. You better know it. Yeah. Yeah, Fionn. So calm yourself. And reason in your mind. And don't forget, you was a child once. You got to talk to them on their level. And you got to prove it, because see, they don't believe nothing. So you prove to them what you're saying. Now, if they continue on, they let you know, I don't care here, now there. Okay, well, I got to give you something you can see and feel. I got to patch you up, raggedy patches. I got to make you raggedy patches. And every now and then, I'm telling you that to remind you. Because you're not looking in the mirror the whole time. Every now and then, I'm going to call you raggedy patches. Come here, Betty. When I tell you, when I get through, they don't want any more of that. Please believe me. Please believe me. Oh, they don't want no more of that. Yeah. And I might put a wig on you, like an old lady with gray hair. If I don't want to cut your natural hair, I put a full wig on you.
Gray is the style now. Girls wear
No, Jerry, not this kind of gray is not the style. Yeah, I got something for you with the gray. See, because I know what you like. You love fashion. You love looking good. Yeah, you love makeup and this and that. I mean, she don't paint her face and, you know, but she put a little lip gloss on, maybe a little light eyeshadow. I'm taking all that little bit away.
Like Emma.
And you going on over there looking like you homeless. That's how I want you to look, like you homeless. And your friends looking at you, what happened to you? I don't even want to talk about it. I know you don't. Yeah. Is mama and grandmama punishing me? Yeah. For listening to y'all. I listened to what y'all told me to do. And now look. Yeah. And that's what happened. She'll lose interest with anything that won't make her do what I'm asking her to do. Right thing.
She's going to be embarrassed.
And I'm trying to be a blessing to you to keep you alive. And from suffering and maybe ending up on drugs in a bad way. Look, we got about 7 minutes left, but I wanted to share this with you. TikTok star pleads not guilty to double murder in San Diego. TikTok star pleads not guilty to double murder in San Diego. A TikTok star with nearly a million online followers pleaded not guilty on Monday to shooting and killing his newly estranged wife at a man she was with last week at a San Diego high-rise. Prosecutor said Ali Abulabin, had installed a listening device on his 5-year-old daughter's tablet device. And when he heard his wife and another man talking, he went to her apartment and shot them to death. The Union Tribune reported. After the shooting, Abulaban, still armed, picked up his daughter from school, Deputy District Attorney Tyron Brack said. The details were revealed during the San Diego County Superior Court arraignment for Abulaban. Abulaban, I'm sorry, Abulaban, who pleaded not guilty to two counts of murder as well as special circumstances, allegations of multiple killings, the newspaper reported. Brass said outside court that Abulaban, 29, is a TikTok star known as Jen Kidd, with more than 940,000 followers on the social media app. His account features comedy skits and impersonations of the characters Mona Montana from the 1983 film Scarface. Abulaban attorney did not comment on the allegations during the hearing. Police identified the victims as Anna Abulaban, 28, of San Diego, and Rayburn Cadenas Barron, 29, of National City. About two dozen family members and friends of the two victims packed the courtroom. Several of them sobbed that Brass shared details about last Thursday's killing in San Diego East Village neighborhood. Brass said Ali Abulaban confessed to detectives and accused his wife of cheating, although the prosecutor said she believed Barron was a friend. According to Brass, Anna Abulaban had asked her husband to move out October 18th. He went into a hotel. 3 days later, Brass said Ali Abulaban sneaked back into the apartment and trashed it while his wife was gone. He also installed a listening app on his daughter's iPad. Hours later, Abulaban was listening to the app when he heard his wife and a man talking to him, Brass said, and he raced back to the high rise. Security camera video showed him running out of the elevator to the apartment. Brass and Abulaban shot Barron three times. Abulaban shot Barron three times before shooting his wife in the head. Abulaban then called his mother and confessed, Brass said. After he picked up his daughter, he called police while driving, and they arrested him 45 minutes later. His daughter was in the vehicle. Judge Kimberly Legata ordered Abulaban jail bond. The judge also issued a protective order that requires Abulaban to stay away from his daughter, who is being cared for by family. Do y'all hear this?
But he got away with the murder.
No, Jerry, they got him locked up with the murder. He's not getting away. He done confessed to it.
They're going to call that a crime of passion.
Jerry, he done told everybody he killed her now, because guess what? It wasn't so much a crime of passion, because to me, she was gone, and he went over there and planted her at her place. She asked him to leave on October 18th. He left. So he had no business going back over there to her place planting nothing. See, that was premeditated in my mind. Why would you go back over there and plant something? Yeah.
Plant medicine. So You're right, Barbara. You're right. Premeditated, because he was planning to catch her cheating. And if I catch her cheating, I'm a killer. So that's premeditated. That's how you look at it. I'm planning it. I'm planting it to see if she's cheating. And if I find out she's cheating, where she's cheating at, I'm a killer. He made his mind out where he was going to kill her, when he was going to kill her. Don't put me on the jury, because he'd go to jail for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jerry, we got 90 seconds. I'm going to pray us out. We pray to us back tomorrow morning. 90 seconds, Brother Lewis. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done. Thank you for your word today, for us to be the light unto our path. And God, the Bible, the Holy Bible, your word that you inspired man to write for us. We thank you for your word today. Father, we ask that you would bless his body. God, bless Cobrisha and Portia, Lord, and bless me today to deal with all of this and show me the right will. Father, every caller and every listener, as we depart this morning, Father, bless their going out and their coming in. And meet the need in their lives today, according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee. clear absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace, share the good news of Jesus, and give someone something of quality. I love the cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, October 26, 2021, in Jesus' name. At this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we're going to our last song of the morning.
From Memphis, Tennessee, little small house, big family, seven kids and I'm the baby. But I'm grown now and I'm like, praise the Lord, 'cause everything I've been praying for is finally knocking on my door. And it's so, so loud, and I'm gonna take it.
Come on.